for our next storyteller. Give a huge, warm welcome to Helen McNulty.
Hello. My story begins 10 years ago. I was a very young little 29-year-old who was very naive and a bit stupid, even though I pretended that I knew everything and I was awesome in class, which I still kind of do. I worked at the time promoting music in Dublin, and one part of my job was I did PR and marketing. I was an artist that needed a normal job, and I was good at talking to people, so it was a good job for me. And one night at a jazz festival, I was told to go over and speak to them two fellas from Norway because they've loads of money. And I mean, loads of money, like loads of money. And we want them to kind of, you know, fund our festival, so go and chat to them. So I chatted to them, and it turns out we loved Procol Harum, you know, that really popular band that probably one person knows, yeah. And Love and Spoonful and all these 60s bands that I used to spend my introverted teens in my shed playing guitar to and crying. So that was a really good place to take off from. And of course, after a few, what was I drinking at the time? Well, you see, I don't really drink that much now, and I've had a beer. So I've got the lack of memory from what I used to drink, but I think I was drinking Guinness and rum and Cokes, swapping them about. And it was a great night, and it was a long night. It was in the old Shebeen Chic on Georgia Street, if anyone remembers that. Anyway, so this is the beginning setting, because this isn't the holiday. I didn't go on holiday on Georgia Street. That I was broke, but well, there's no end to that sentence, actually. So the fellas, they took to me. They took a shine to me, and I thought, of course, it was because I was really clever, intelligent, and an asset to the company, and that wasn't the reason. But I didn't know that. And now that I know that, I'm fucking mad about it, to be quite honest. But anyway, I got told that I had a brilliant job waiting for me at a jazz festival in Verona. This is my plane ticket. I will see you on Friday, the bloody blah of the bloody blah, 2009. Grand, so great. Verona, class, right? I hadn't been there since a really terrible, terrible time where I got kicked out of the opera when I was 19 with a boyfriend who was a complete psychopath. Oh, and we got caught in a lightning storm as we tried to escape Verona to Venice, where he left me. But that's another holiday. So, Verona part due, toi? What? How do you say two in Italian? Due. Verona part two, due. I arrive and a limousine picks me up from the airport. Jesus, this jazz festival has a lot of money. We don't have that kind of money in Dublin. Okay, limousine it is. It's just me then. Okay then. A note is in the limousine saying, go to the hotel, unpack your bags, and follow the next instructions. And at this point, I had not enough money to get back to Dublin, and I kind of shit myself, but I was also deeply curious, and I love telling stories. So I was like, at least there's going to be a story in this. Or an obituary anyway. So So I got to the hotel, and it was super fancy. Like, super fancy. It was like this big Palladian dream, you know, that from a painting, from some kind of really, really well-patroned artist from the 16th century. And I was like, oh, dear, I'm a princess. So I went up the stairs in my wee dress and my shoes, thinking I looked very Italian. And the iron jumper gave it away, though. I went up to my bedroom, and there was a note on the bedroom pillow of not bedroom pillow. Anyway, you know what I mean. There was a note on the pillow. Don't be late. Hairdresser appointment. Get the next taxi downstairs at 6 p.m. What the fuck is going on? Wear something comfortable. Okay. No names on these notes. I'm taking a lot on faith here, Jeeves, you know. And anyway, I go. And I go to the hairdresser, and the hairdresser's lovely, and she can't speak English. She's wonderful. Does my hair so beautifully. And next I'm taken in another taxi down a beautiful, opulent street. And I am told by the taxi driver to go in to a shop. The shop is a designer shop of designer clothes. I'd never been in anywhere like this before in my whole life, and haven't since. And two handmaidens, I can only describe them as. This is a true story. Like, greeted me at the door, ciao bella, da 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 da, right? And I was like, my name's Helen. Thanks. Helen, not Bella. So I have been instructed to dress you. The clothes shop is closed down just for me, by the way. All the curtains are closed. The shop front is closed. I am the only person in the shop. And I get kitted out with a dress, tights, shoes, bag, scarf, everything. And I don't even know the price tag, but I look amazing. But feel really, 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 really weird. What the fuck is going on? Next note. Go to this restaurant, Michelin-starred restaurant, where the two jazz guys are standing at the door with walkie-talkies around their belts and big leather jackets and black jeans, pretending to be bodyguards. Basically, they were tricksters. They were pranksters. They had so much money that they liked to play games with their money. And the game that they played on all of Verona was that an Irish pop star called Helen was coming to visit Verona on a very, very special trip. And nobody was to be informed, not the paparazzi, nobody. She just wanted to be left alone. So I go into the restaurant, and instead of a menu, I am presented with tiny cups of every single dish on the menu to taste with tiny spoons. No. Madame want this, or whatever the Italian for madame is, right? Yeah. Oh, wonderful. You can have that, whatever it was. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell's going on, guys? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? We just thought it would be funny, you know, to like basically objectify you and exploit you for our fun. Oh, right, like Pretty Woman or whatever. And Roy Orbison was fucking annoying the shit out of me in the back of my head. And I'm like, shut up, Roy. That film's about a woman being totally treated like shit. And everybody thinks it's romantic, you know. And I was like, shit, do I have to do sexual favors for this entire event? So we had a great night's crack. Really, really good night's crack. I mean, Jesus, I had loads of free, really, really expensive drink. Like, there was a bottle of this lemon stuff that they brought out that was like made Mussolini's age or something. And they were like, just for you, Helen. And I was like, okay, this is great, right? Except for, do I have to do sexual favors for this shit? which was drumming in the back of my head. And there are photos of me at that time where all the photos, I'm like this. Dressed up in this absolutely fabulous dress going... So we get back to the hotel and the guys are laughing about how funny this was that they played this joke on a Michelin restaurant and shouldn't we do it again in Paris? And I'm sitting there going, hi, I'm a person, not a doll. Even though, you know, it's kind of like that fantasy thing that you're told when you're young, a man will come on a big white horse, whatever, take you away and, you know, buy you loads of dresses in a private shop. And no. So we get into the lift. One of them goes the other way and one of them stays in the lift. And I'm there going, please, God, I don't want to do anything. You're really old. And your breath smells really bad of wine. And your lips are purple. Please stop looking at me with doe eyes. And he goes for it. He tries to snog me in the lift. And not tries to snog me, he snogs me. He puts his tongue down my throat. And my reaction, and ladies, I would certainly take this home with you tonight if you ever want to get rid of anyone. I had so much food and so much drink that I threw up in his mouth. My finest hour. And that was the best holiday I've ever had. Thank you.
Ha ha.